It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
You can't blame Dodger fans if they had become cynical, because for some time now, the Dodgers were the best team in baseball. It didn't result in a championship, and a lot of people probably thought, why would this year be different? Well, it turns out there was one big reason why this year was different. His name is Mookie Betts. When the Dodgers traded for him from the Red Sox, there was a lot of hope in Los Angeles. Then that got derailed for some time because of the pandemic. And then once the season got going, the postseason arrived, Mookie proved just how special he was. At the plate, on the bases, in the field. Five-tool player. Game 6 of the World Series, he had a sixth-inning double. Brilliant base running, gave them the lead. Added a solo homer in the eighth. And, of course, there's a lot of credit to go around here. Clayton Kershaw, the rest of the staff, pitched well. Corey Seager was the MVP. Several players contributed. Dave Roberts, hopefully, will get some credit here as well. But while Corey Seager was the MVP, Mookie Betts was the MVD. He was the most valuable Dodger. There's a lot of questions with last night's game. And, you know, you look at – let me just start on the field. I'll get to Justin Turner in a moment here. But just what was going on with the pitching matchup. We thought it was going to be a bullpen session for the Dodgers. And basically, let's see what happens in Game 6. If we have to go to a Game 7, we have a well-rested Walker Buehler. But you're using seven pitchers there, and you allowed one earned run. Blake Snell was cruising. Blake Snell, through the first four or five innings, was brilliant. 73 pitches. But the analytics will tell you that once he gets to the third go-round in the lineup, that's when trouble happens for Blake Snell. That's around the fifth or sixth inning. So if I gave you inning-by-inning ERA before last night for Blake Snell in the postseason, first inning ERA is 3.60. Second inning, 0.00. Third inning, 1.80. Fourth inning, 0.00. Fifth inning, 14.73 ERA. Now, if you're going to make a decision based off of that, the analytics, then you're probably looking at third time around, top of the lineup with the Dodgers. Mookie Betts was leading off, and Blake Snell was pulled by his manager, Kevin Cash. Here's what Kevin Cash had to say as to why he took out his pitcher.
The only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some, Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions. And that's where I came to the decision. I felt it was best after the guy got on base. Barnes hit the single. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
Okay, if you're going to, you know, criticize this, then you have to be critical prior to him pulling Blake Snell. The only thing I thought when I'm watching it is, and I didn't know the ERA in the fifth inning for him in the postseason, the third time around. I do know that Mookie was not hitting left-handers well. Mookie, after the game on Fox, the postgame, was like, whew, we were happy to get rid of him. You know, I felt like I had a chance with somebody else. You want to bring in your reliever who hasn't pitched well in the postseason. Are you using analytics with that decision? When you bring in Anderson, are you using analytics to say maybe we shouldn't be bringing him in because he has not pitched well in the postseason? There's something about analytics, and there's something about a gut feeling. The only thing I would want to know if I'm the manager, all right, let me see where we are in the pitch count. And I know that we're coming up with the top of the lineup again. I just want to know what my catcher is going to tell me. And I want him to tell me, look, they're not even close to hitting him. You know, he's still got good velocity. He's got still has good bite on his breaking ball. Like, he was pitching so well and in, you know, in such control there. But I don't know if all of a sudden your catcher, and I would say to him, you got to be honest with me. I don't even go to Blake Snell. I'd go to my catcher and say, I want you to put yourself in my position. What would you do? I mean, these are big boy decisions here. This will stay with Kevin Cash for a long, long time. And Blake Snell maybe was going to get torched, maybe get lit up. I don't like being married to analytics because there also has to be a gut feeling in the moment. This is the World Series. Because if I'm Blake Snell, you say, let me try to win, but also let me try to lose the game too. And by that, I mean, let me stay out there. If I lose the game, I'm your best option. I want to be out there. I want to stay in. I want to pitch as long as I can to win. But even if I'm out there and we lose, I want to be the guy on the mound. And it's rare when the pitcher gets to talk the manager out of a decision. Because Kevin Cash came out there armed with analytics and basically was saying, before he got out there, I'm taking you out. And Blake Snell knew that. And Blake Snell was not thrilled. This is what he had to say about trying to stay on the mound.
Definitely disappointed, upset. You know, I don't know. I just want the ball. I felt good. I did everything I could to, you know, prove my case to stay out there. And then for us to lose, you know, it sucks.
What if he had left Blake Snell in and Blake Snell got torched, not the reliever? Then we would be all over who today? You use your analytics all these months. That's the reason why you were the favorite in the American League. And then you went against analytics. Because we're looking at the results here. I just want to know what Blake Snell was thinking. And I want to know what my catcher felt like he was seeing and feeling. And the reaction, you know, with the hitters too. You know, how close are they? A lot of times you'll see guys who are right on somebody's fastball. You know, they always say, oh, he just missed that. I didn't get that feeling with the Dodgers. And then I'm bringing in a reliever who hasn't pitched well in the postseason. What were the analytics on that? Because if I'm married to the analytics to take out my pitcher, then I'm going to be married to the analytics of maybe not bringing in that reliever. I feel like we should just date analytics. I don't know if we should be marrying analytics. I just want to date, you know. I think we should see other people. All right. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. McLovin, you got a poll question for me?
Yes. Paulie worded it, and I like it. Always trust analytics or your gut. So it's black and white. You can't go one or the other. Yeah, you can't be like, well, sometimes I'll trust analytics. I think it has to be noted that Andrew Friedman is the president of the Dodgers, and he's like one of the grandfather, you know, he built the Rays. He's like an analytics stud. Theo Epstein won with the Cubs and the Red Sox, analytics stud. Jeff Luhnow and the Astros, analytics. Analytics. The Dodgers pulled a perfect analytics game last night. They did one inning of their starter.
The Astros had different analytics, though.
Yeah. They actually were famous for their analytics and it turned out it was a garbage can relator.
I understand analytics. It's not like I'm an analytics denier. It's just I think that you get married to something. And it feels like in that moment, you have to have a human element. How many times do you see somebody? If we did analytics, Kurt Gibson wouldn't have come to the plate for the Dodgers against the Oakland A's. Because we'd say he can't catch up to Eckersley. Madison Bumgarner probably wouldn't pitch as long as he did in games with the Giants when he was so brilliant. Like, it feels like some great baseball moments would have been prevented because of analytics. And that's the only thing that I get a little concerned about. And I've railed against analytics from the standpoint as I think it's taken the heart and soul out of baseball. I don't think it's as enjoyable. There's no movement. How many times did the Rays strike out last night? You know, there's no on-base percent. Like, nobody cares about any of that stuff. And it feels like I'm celebrating Mookie Betts today because why? In the field, great defense, on the bases, and at the plate. I'm looking at everything that he offers baseball. And that's what I love seeing. I don't like one-dimensional. And baseball, it feels like, is one-dimensional. And that's where analytics sometimes comes in. It's like, hey, you don't need to take, lay down a bunt. You know, steal a base. You don't have to do any of those things. You know, maybe. But it felt like the Dodgers did some small things in this series that helped them win. And I would have left Blake Snell in if I thought Blake Snell was still, virtually unhittable. He wasn't striking out. I don't know the last guy he struck out. McLovin, if you can find that. Paulie, do you have that?
Yeah, Blake Snell struck out the side in the fourth inning. Seager, Muncy, and Turner struck him out. 1-2-3.
Okay.
In the fifth inning, it was a 1-2-3 inning, but everyone got a bat on the ball.
Okay.
So that's the difference. So those are his last two innings.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have left him in. It's the World Series. If my answer was going to be a reliever who hadn't pitched well, then it makes me stay with Snell a little bit longer. And it might be one of those where I say to him, if you give up a hit, I'm taking you out. But I have to let him still be on the mound there. It was a great series, a lot of drama and a lot of heroes, some questionable moves there. And, of course, we end up with Justin Turner of the Dodgers pulled from the World Series last night after a positive COVID-19 test. We didn't know why at the time, but Turner went 0-for-3. He had two strikeouts. He came out of the game starting the eighth inning. The team didn't give a reason for his exit when he left. Sources told ESPN's Jeff Passan Turner had been asked to isolate after the positive test, but no one stopped him from going onto the field to celebrate. Sources told Passan that in the second inning, the lab doing a COVID-19 test informed baseball. Turner's test from Monday came back inconclusive. So that's in the second inning. It's unclear why the results of the test arrived after the game started, but we're trying to get somebody who was on the ground there to help us understand that. Samples taken from Tuesday arrived at the lab, and Turner, his were run immediately. When it showed up positive, the league called the Dodgers and said to pull Turner. The Dodgers didn't have a choice in this. I don't know how long they waited to pull him from the game. I don't know if this was a case of Jeff Passan or Kenny Rosenthal maybe finding this out and the Dodgers had to pull him or Major League Baseball had to pull him. Why you get results back during a game? That was the strange part of it. What kind of, you know, COVID protocol do you have that you're running test and you're getting results back to, you know, during a game? Here is Andrew Friedman, the Dodgers president, on Justin Turner testing positive.
It was obviously a really unfortunate end point of this incredible series and definitely, you know, affected some of the joy from winning just because of how much JT has meant to us and, you know, him not being able to be on the field for that final out with everything he's done for this organization. But, you know, it's something that is no one's fault. It's just how things played out. And, you know, we'll figure out exactly how to proceed going forward.
Because I'm going to assume that everybody is going to get tested again after the game before they go their merry way after winning. Are they going to have a celebration? Is there going to be some kind of celebration in Los Angeles? Will they get together for that? I think Justin Turner is a free agent in waiting here. But we'll ask Dave Roberts when he joins us a little bit later on. And we're trying to get somebody who was there at the game, whether it's Jeff Passan or Kenny Rosenthal. And I know they're being pulled in a lot of different directions. We're just curious about this whole process and how it got to the point where you find out in the second inning, and the next thing you know, in the eighth inning, he's pulled and there was no reason given. And then he's out there celebrating. He had his mask on for most of the time, but he insisted on not having his mask on when they had the World Series trophy there. And that was briefly there. But baseball realizes it was not a good look last night. That's why the commissioner said, you know, that there was a bittersweet moment for Major League Baseball. Yeah, Paul.
One thing that confuses me, I'd like clarity on, is if MLB knows that Justin Turner has tested positive, let's say in the middle of the seventh inning, I wonder if they considered letting him finish out the game since there's two more innings. He had already played seven innings. Or were they in a position where if they do that, that would be disaster, knowingly let a player finish a game?
If somebody found that out.
Right.
Then it would be that baseball has been so great. They've had no positive test for 58 days. None. And then you get one at this point. And was it a false positive? We weren't quite sure. It was inconclusive. Then you run the test again. And then it comes back. And then you say, we got a polling from the game. There's more to this story. I don't know what direction it goes in, but it feels like there's a whole lot more to this story. And plus, he had been around his teammates this whole time. And what are the odds that if Justin Turner has this, that other players on the Dodger roster are not infected? Maybe they're asymptomatic. But you have wives there, families there. Oh, but you know, we're trying to get answers. And Fritzy's done a great job. He's trying to track down somebody who was there at the game. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. We're talking about analytics. We just got a tweet. Phil, who is a Cubs fan since 89, says the Houston Astros use trash can analytics. I think that's pretty good. Trash can analytics. Yeah, Paul?
I guess we got to get to this at some point. How much do you blame or not blame Justin Turner for his actions after the game? He waited till well after maybe MLB officials were out of the clubhouse or whatever and went on the field.
But he was told not to go out there.
Told, but not physically restrained or anything.
I think I
know what I would do if I were in that situation. I was Justin Turner. I would probably do the similar thing. I would, you know, I would probably be more, I don't know if he's a Dodger in 4 months from now. And I think I would probably go out and get the picture of my teammates with a mask on if I could. I just know myself. And my wife, obviously, whatever I have, she has.
These are your teammates and other people around you, and you can't be careless. I know you want to celebrate, but you can't be careless.
I think I would have gone out there and said, I'm possibly positive, and I'm going to go out and get the picture and do 2 or 3 minutes and then move on. I wasn't going to do the monkey pile with him and jostle around.
I mean, he shouldn't have been out there. He shouldn't be out there. And if you are out there, wear a mask the whole time. But, you know, it's not a good look. Not a good look. And it's an unfortunate moment because it takes away from a greater moment that the Dodgers won the World Series. Yeah, see.
In the moment, though, it's got to be pretty difficult.
Yes, it is.
It's got to be pretty difficult to lay off on that.
But you're already told that you're taken out of the game in the eighth inning, and you're told by Major League Baseball to not go on the field. It's a tough moment. Baseball tells you not to go on the field. Your Dodger president, Andrew Friedman, talked about it. So, you know, it's unfortunate because we should be just talking about the Dodgers and what an unbelievable season and baseball pulling this off, somehow making it work. No positive test for 58 days, and then we have one in the World Series in Game 6. You had Blake Snell being pulled from the game. Mookie Betts was awesome. Corey Seager, MVP. Clayton Kershaw, finally, gets his World Series win. I mean, there are a lot of great moments here. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on what happened with Justin Turner, but I don't want to overlook it either. Because could this happen in, let's say this happened in the Super Bowl. Third quarter. Patrick Mahomes, you're going to have to come out. We got an inconclusive test here. Or you tested positive. But that's what happened last night. As crazy as it may sound, That's what happened last night. Jeff Passan from the Mothership joining us on short notice. Jeff, thanks for joining us. I hate to focus on just one thing, but we're trying to figure out what was happening in real time with the Dodgers and Justin Turner. And when everybody, like, why did this test come back during the middle of Game 6 of the World Series?
Boy, is that a great question, Dan. And the one, now there are two things that I'm still a little confused about. The first is that I was told that the tests from Monday, which should have been back before game time on Tuesday, before Game 6, had not arrived. The results arrived in the second inning, and they said that Justin Turner's test was inconclusive. It showed some signs that he might be positive, and right around then, the tests that were taken on Tuesday, the day of Game 6, had arrived in Utah at Major League Baseball's lab for COVID-19 testing. And they said, don't rerun that original inconclusive test. Let's just go straight to the new one and spin that sucker. And it takes about 2 hours to get results. And in between the second inning, when they had the inconclusive test from Monday, and the seventh inning, when they had finally gotten the results from Tuesday's testing, they realized that Tuesday's came back positive, called up the Dodgers, said, get him out of the game as soon as you can. And that's why Justin Turner sat down and everything that happened happened.
Okay, but he's been around his teammates. We've had no positives for 58 days. I don't know if baseball ran the risk of leaving him in the game since he had already been around his teammates. He, you know, here he is in the seventh inning here. I don't know if reporters, I don't know if you or Kenny Rosenthal, like you guys found out and baseball had to do this. I mean, I hate to be cynical or skeptical with this, but it's kind of crazy. It just went unfolded, right?
It's totally crazy and it's totally ridiculous. I will say this though, and correct me if I'm wrong here because I might be off, but I think if Justin Turner had tested positive and had remained in isolation, it would have been a part of this story, but it would not have been the focus like it is right now. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he was out there on the field, the fact that he went out there with a mask but took it down, taking pictures with his wife, and took it off when he was sitting next to the World Series trophy on his left, and Dave Roberts, his manager, a cancer survivor, on the right, who was also maskless. You know, Andrew Friedman talked about the optics and how the optics were bad, if that's the case, and the optics were bad. But, I mean, it goes beyond optics, too, right? Like, it's just, it's a health thing. And it's a bummer that baseball had done as well as it had for as long as it had. And then when something like this happened, it was pulled off in such a slipshod, just ugly way. And I don't think, you know what, to me, I don't think it takes away from what the Dodgers did and from the meaning of this. I think when we look back 5 or 10 years from now, we're going to look back and say that the Dodgers won the World Series for the first time in 32 years. But in the moment, it feels wrong and it looked wrong. And, you know, you can have a lot of excuses. You can say he's been around his teammates and people in the organization in close quarters. He rode the bus with them over to the park that day, a 20-minute bus ride. So clearly he was, you know, close enough to people for more than 15 minutes that they're pretty much all going to be contacts with him at this point, and that all the people who he ran into on the field were people who he had run into already otherwise. But even still, you know, baseball had done such a good job up until this point, and it's unfortunate that it went the way that it did.
Yeah, imagine if there was a Game 7. Like,
oh, my goodness. Like, hey, you know, it's interesting you say that, because let's say Blake Snell hadn't been pulled out of the game. Let's say he continued to shove the way that he was, and Justin Turner's COVID test came back positive. Number one, Justin Turner's not going to be playing in a Game 7. Number two, it's going to be at least 2 days until another Game 7. And if there are more positive tests that come in, it's going to delay it again and again and again. And we're just going to be sitting here for Lord knows how long while this whole thing happens. And, you know, I hope I hope like hell that there are no other positive tests that come back. But if there were, imagine that these players have to sit out, you know, upward of 2 weeks, and the Dodgers are going out there for a game seven playing with a roster that's, you know, three quarters its normal size, but they're missing multiple players who they would have there in a normal situation. I mean, Major League Baseball is thanking its lucky stars right now that this was the outcome.
We're talking to Jeff Passan from ESPN, the great baseball reporter. When I watched Blake Snell through the first four innings and it seemed to be cruising, and I know what the analytics were when he gets to the fifth inning, but I'm just not sure. This got the Dodge, or this got the Rays here. I understand that they are based in analytics. I just didn't know if anybody talked to anybody, like the catcher. Like, did anybody say, Blake wants to stay in there? I just didn't know. This is the World Series. This is game six. Guys have a propensity to step up even higher, taller in a bigger moment. I didn't know if Blake Snell all of a sudden was not getting bite on his curveball, didn't have velocity, didn't have location. All I know is what Mookie Betts said after the game, Jeff. He's like, basically, thank God he got out of there because I had a chance to get a hit.
It's really interesting, and I want to make a comparison that I haven't heard a whole lot, Dan. 24 hours earlier, Clayton Kershaw was out on the mound having gotten two outs on two pitches in the sixth inning, and Dave Roberts walked out there and got absolutely booed to death by all the Dodger fans who were at the stadium there. And we're not sitting here today talking about the Dodgers as world champions who were based on analytics. What the Rays did was really no different than what the Dodgers did. Now, you can make the argument that Blake Snell has better stuff than Clayton Kershaw, and it's true. And you can make the argument that Blake Snell looked just as sharp as he did. But that's also, you know, running into the fallacy of what you've done is what you're going to do. That's not always the case. This will be like an all-time, you know, what could have been. And we think because he was so great beforehand that he was going to continue that. And me, if I'm the manager, if I'm Kevin Cash, yeah, I'm probably keeping him in there. But I'm saying that from a position of privilege where, A, I don't have to make those decisions.
Yeah, but Anderson hadn't pitched well, Jeff. That was my point is I'm bringing in a guy who has struggled.
Yes.
If you're going to tell me that Blake Snell, third time around, is going to struggle, I'm going to keep you in until you give up a hit. And then you know that, I know that, and then we will part ways on the mound. But until then,
I mean, admittedly, Dan, he had just given up a hit.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Like Austin Barnes had hit the last pitch he threw, which was the 94.3-mile-per-hour fastball, which was his slowest of the night. Up the middle, you know, Blake Snell had been sitting at 96 all night. Now, I'd like to think I'm smart enough not to base my analysis of a player on a single pitch that he threw. Blake Snell could have come out and thrown the next one at 97 for all I know. You know, the velocity on his off-speed pitches in that inning thus far had been consistent with the other ones that he had thrown.
And Mookie had not hit left-handers. He had not hit Snell. I mean, I'm not basing this off the results, because in the moment I said, you know what, I would definitely leave him in there.
I mean, I will say this, Dan. It's incredible that Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, and Justin Turner, who have been awesome, all three of them this postseason, went 0 for 6 with 6 punch-outs against Blake Snell the first two times through the order.
Yeah, I know. Great job, and thank you again for all the times that you got up and joined us on the program the entire season. Always entertaining. We're thinking, though, your voice reminds us of a younger Keith Morrison from NBC Dateline.
I'll take that. That guy rules.
Can you say, oh, that pesky DNA?
I would love to.
Okay.
Hold on. Sorry. Okay. I haven't slept yet, so I don't know how it's going to come out.
Okay.
Oh, that pesky DNA.
Enjoy the off season, Jeff. Thanks for joining us. Safe travels home.
Gentlemen, the pleasure is always mine. Thanks for having me.
That's Jeff Passan from the Mothership. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a friend who's a Dodger fan who just sent me a video. He said, oh, I see you're having Sean Casey on. Why don't you ask Sean the time that he faced a young Clayton Kershaw? And then he sent me a link to the video. And I go, oh, that's not nice. I can't lead with that with Sean Casey, kind enough to get up and join us on the program. But I will. Hey, buddy, how are you? Yeah, you got your knees buckled.
Well, you know what? It's so great. I mean, it's not great. It's just what an experience. It's my last year with the Red Sox. We're in Vero Beach, right? And it's like the sixth inning. I'm trying to get some work in. It's probably going to be my last at bat. And I look out on the mound. It's like number 98. Just this big dude, looks like a young kid, you know. And I'd say to Dave Magnin, I was like, "Who is this guy? You got anything on him?" He's like, "Nah, I don't know, man. It's like some rookie they just brought up to get some innings in." I'm like, "All right." So I go to Tito. I'm like, "Hey, Tito." I'm like, "Seen this guy before?" He's like, "Some rookie they brought up off the backfield." So I'm like, "All right, that's cool." So I go up there, you know, I'm leading off the inning and I see a couple pitches, you know, lining them up. Danny, I get in there first pitch, boom, I'm ready to go. Bam, 98 outside corner. I'm like, what? And I look over, I swear, I step out and I'm kind of like, is this a joke? Is this a joke on me? I'm looking around. I look over at Joe Torre, who's the manager of the Dodgers at the time, Larry Bowa. They're just like, oh, they're giggling around like, you know, oh man, they know something I don't know. So I get back in, deep breath. You know, I'm like, come on, I'm a 12-year vet. I'm going to dominate here. Next pitch, wham, just one of the most unbelievable hammers I've ever seen. It's coming at my face, and I'm just like, start buckling, right? Bam, strike two. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, this is unbelievable. And now Torre and those guys are crying, laughing. Next pitch, he paints it outside black. I mean, it was like 97, bam. And I look back, and the umpire calls it a ball. I'm like, oh, man, that's like a veteran move. Like, he doesn't know who this guy is either, but we've never seen stuff like this. So I look back. I'm like, thank you. Next pitch, I mean, literally, I thought it was going to hit me. Curveball, boom, strike three. I mean, just Tony's frozen pizza. Like, don't know what to do. Just right here, I'm out, right? And I walk back, and I said to Francona, I go, you don't know who this guy is? And Tito goes, I don't know, but I'm just glad I'm not you.
You called that the nastiest pitch you ever faced, that curveball that he threw you back then.
I swear, you know, all those years in the big leagues facing different guys, I mean, Zito had a good curveball, but I'd never seen 97, like, darted down and then a hook like that. It was like he threw it up in the spin, and it was scary. I thought it was going to hit me, and I turned into a four-year-old kid, like, mommy, you know, it was unbelievable. And it, man, he made me look like, and then he got called up later in that year, and I was like, that's the guy. I said, that's the guy I face. That's the guy I face. And then when he started dominating, I was like, yes, he's dominating everybody. You know?
Did you ever talk to Kershaw about that at bat?
Oh, I did, yeah. I think a couple years later at the All-Star game, I was working for MLB Network, and I was out there, you know, interviewing guys. And I think one of the first things I asked him was, hey, man, you did me dirty, bro. I didn't even know who you were. And he goes, hey, I had to, you know, I knew I was facing Sean Case, said something like that. He's like, I had to get him. I'm like, oh, man, you got me all right. Like, I felt so, so small. I was like, I need to retire.
All right, let's start with the move last night when Cash goes to the mound. Now, what did you think that he should do with Blake Snell in that moment?
Boy, I just know as a hitter, when there's certain guys that are on the mound, and you know, I know he punched out Mookie twice. He had punched out Seager and Turner twice. And I understand what Cash is saying, because that's what they've done all year long. So, you know, I know they don't like to have the pitcher face the lineup three times. But I know Snell was dominant. I mean, he was just had great stuff. So for me as a hitter, if you've punched me out twice, I'm not looking forward to that third time up. That means something really good's happening out there. And so I love Cash, a great friend of mine. I disagreed with it because I know as a hitter, let's just get this guy out of here as quick as we can. I mean, bring a guy in with a rocket launcher. I don't care. Just I need to see something else besides what's going on out there. So I don't know, man. I'm second guessing Cash, and they're in the World Series for a reason, but I would not have taken Snell out right there.
Yeah, and Mookie said after the game, he was like, man, I was relieved that they took him out because I felt like I had a chance. And, you know, they brought in Anderson, and he had been hitting right-handers better than left-handers.
Yeah, I think, yeah. What was it? Mookie's slugging percentage off lefties was like .218. And so it just didn't make sense. And Anderson was the one guy, too, that, like, I know he's been really good these last few years, but he hasn't had a great postseason. He's the one guy I felt like was pretty hittable. And when Mookie got that double, I was like, uh-oh, here we go.
What do you think is the future of analytics in baseball?
Well, that's a great question, because I think it's going to come back around again. Like, I just really believe there is something to be said, like, about the mental side of the game, about the flow of the game, the mojo of the game, about really seeing what your eyes are seeing. You know, I, you can't judge. Like people always say about hitting, I'm like, listen, when I'm in the box, like, I really am trying to dumb things down. I'm trying to see the ball and hit the ball. Like, I'm really trying to, like, you know, slow the game down. Like, there's no analytics that can help me with that stuff. And you need a human being to be able to measure, hey, man, he's really seen the ball, or he's feeling good today. I talked to him when he came to the yard. So I think there's going to be more of that. I think we're starting to get analytics heavy, and I just think the cycle is going to bring it back to, hey, we still need those baseball guys that have that pass the eye test.
I love that Mookie Betts was on display for the nation to see, because baseball has become regional, but I'm glad that people got to see him, and he does everything. He's not one-dimensional, which a lot of our baseball players now are one-dimensional, or it feels that way. He did it on the bases, he did it in the field, he did it at the plate, and I can't say enough about him. I love watching him play. I think he's very smart. He's not a big guy, but no, he's not afraid. And I know Seager got the MVP. I think that, you know, I think Mookie was the MVD, the most valuable Dodger.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he put them over the top, too. I think without Mookie Betts, they don't win the whole thing. And you're right, Danny, man. When you watch him play, it's everything you'd want to bring your son to watch. Like, you know, hey, watch this guy hit. Then when he gets on base, it's like, okay, now you're a base runner. You know, he does everything. The way he cuts the corners, the way he gets jumps. I loved it last night after the game. They asked him about, you know, the read he got, you know, scoring from third base. And he said, hey, listen, I knew I needed to get a big secondary. I knew I needed to get going quickly. And I was able to do that. Like, I just love the fact that he runs the bases well. He plays gold glove defense. He hustles on and off the field. He can hit. He just does everything that you would want to see a baseball player do. And that's why he's one of the best in the game.
I brought this up to the commissioner last week, where I understand you're going to have a shift, but I would prefer not to have the shortstop on the other side of second base, or second base on the other side of, second base with the shortstop. I just don't want extreme shifts. Am I asking too much there? Is it fixable?
I kind of feel the same way you do. I don't know. Like, is it like the illegal defense kind of thing in the NBA or you know what I mean? I think I feel the same way sometimes too. And, you know, it's such a big deal now. It's such a big thing to see. Hey, guys are beating the shift in the postseason. They're going the other way. They're staying inside it, you know. And you know, people always say, well, if they start to do that, they'll shift back. Well, you're not going to ask your big power hitters to just beat the shift all the time. You got to actually hit the ball out of the ballpark nowadays in this game. But I agree with you, man. I don't love the shift. And I know people say, hey, it's a strategy thing. I get it. But, you know, everyone's on one side of the field. And, like, I don't know. I don't love it.
And the Justin Turner situation last night. Like, how bizarre is this that in the middle of game 6 of the World Series – I don't know what would happen if there was a game 7, because Justin Turner was around all of his teammates. I mean, nothing had changed. It felt like once the game started, Sean, then you know what? Everybody gets to play the rest of the game. Like, I don't know. It just felt, you imagine this in the Super Bowl, third quarter, somebody's, you know, they have an inconclusive test and then they take another one and they go out and play. And then they go in the third quarter. You know, Tom Brady, come here. You got to sit down. You tested positive.
Oh, my gosh. No, I mean, seriously. I mean, it's crazy. It's almost par for the course for this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, oh, the World Series, your number 3 hitter has COVID in the middle of the game. It's crazy. And it was weird because Joe Buck kept saying, you know, Turner's out of the game. We'll have to find out why. I mean, I never would have in my wildest dreams thought, yeah, he left the game in the middle of the game with COVID. Like, that's just crazy.
And then you're going onto the field to, you know, after the, and he'd been told not to go out there on the field. I know you want to celebrate, but, and maybe he thought, look, I've been around these guys. I'm going out there to celebrate. I understand what his thought process is, but for Major League Baseball, you can't let Justin Turner go out there. If you're pulling him from the game, he can't go on the field to celebrate.
Yeah. I'm sure emotions were so high with Turner, and that, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know what I would have done there, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it's one of those things where it's a very touchy thing, and, you know, you don't want to put other people in danger.
Well, I would want to go out and celebrate with my teammates. I don't even know if I'll be with the Dodgers next year. He's a free agent. I understand it's the best, biggest moment of your baseball career, but Major League Baseball or the Dodgers have to say, Justin, you can't go out there. You can't go out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
tough. Yep, I agree. Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah. Anybody have more energy than you?
Yeah, it's just me. Brett Phillips, I think, does.
D- did you ever have a manager get talked out of taking a pitch? Like, you would be on the mound at first base. Did you ever hear a conversation where a pitcher talked his manager out of taking him out of a game? Was there any weird?
Let me see. Yeah, I'm sure I did. I can't think of one off the top of my head. It didn't happen too often. I mean, there might have been one or two times, but you know, I'm sure I did. But I love it. I love it when you're able to have that conversation. If the manager comes out and the pitcher says, "No, I'm not coming out of this game," and you know, I don't know if that happens the way it did back in the day, Danny, but you know, I've seen it a couple times.
You never went to the manager and said, "You know what? I think you should pull him."
No, I never did. Okay. Never did. You know, I kind of relied on the manager to just you know, do that. I remember Dave Miley one time came out to the mound, and he was like, "We came, you know, we were meeting at the mound, and he hadn't got anybody." He's like, about to get the lefty. He looked at me. He was like, "Hey, Case, I got to go with the lefty right here." I'm like, "I don't know. I just played first base. You know, that's your decision. I don't know. Get the lefty, the righty, whoever you think. Just do it."
Did a pitcher ever ask the manager to have you pulled from the game?
Maybe, yes. I might have
had
a few times, yes.
Oh, thanks for getting up. Always great to see you. Enjoy the offseason there, Sean. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, Danny. Thanks a lot, man. See you soon, brother.
That's Sean Casey. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Josh Allen set to join us, and the Buffalo Bills quarterback. He is joining us on behalf of us. I get my paperwork here. Promoting his cereal, Josh's Jax, with the proceeds benefiting the Children's Hospital in Buffalo. First place in the AFC West. They won Sunday against the Jets. They got the Patriots coming up this weekend, and kind enough to join us with an interesting sweatshirt. What's it say on the front of your sweatshirt there?
This says talentless.
okay, why?
it's a brand, Scott Disick. I don't know, he's got a, it's his brand. I like their stuff. It wasn't like a play on anything. I don't know. I like the brand.
Oh, wait, Scott from the Kardashians?
That's right. Yeah.
Have you met him?
No, never. I'm not going to lie to you. I was on Instagram one day and this ad popped up, and it was targeted, obviously, for me, and I thought it was a cool brand. And I bought one sweatshirt, and the sweatshirts were so comfortable, I ended up buying, like, six more of them. So I wear them all the time.
But you're not talentless.
No, not at all. I don't think so.
Is that the Buffalo Bills facility you're in, or are you at home?
No, I'm at my house right now. It's my little film.
What's the coolest thing in your house?
I've got my Elvis poster up here.
Ooh, okay.
Big Elvis fan. Coolest thing in my house. I don't have many cool things, if you will. I don't buy a whole lot of things. So that's my most prized possession.
I got
my Idaho Potato Bowl MVP downstairs too. So
have you been to Graceland?
I've never actually been to Graceland.
Oh.
So I need to get down there.
You got to do the whole tour, man. If you love Elvis, you go on that tour. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's on the bucket list for sure.
So are you an MVP candidate? How do you react when you hear that?
I mean, I'm just trying to do my job, to be honest, and be the best quarterback, the best teammate that I could be for the Buffalo Bills. If that, like I said, has me thrown for 300 yards and 5 touchdowns, or throwing for 100 yards and 0 touchdowns, whatever the case may be, to put us in position to win a football game. That's what I'm for. So I really don't care about any of the other accolades, but being in that contention means our team's winning and we're doing what we're supposed to do. So I'm all for it.
Do you play with a chip on your shoulder?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it goes back to zero recruit or zero offers out of high school and one out of junior college. And then just kind of being nitpicked and picked apart by everybody, it seems like, in the media. But I try my best to not really pay attention to all that stuff. And like I said, focus on being the best that I can be. And, I'm a realist and, I acknowledge the flaws in my game and me trying to get better and trying to work on these flaws. And, being self-aware, in my opinion, is one of the greatest traits that you can have, especially as a leader of a football team.
What's your biggest flaw?
I think that, they're early on just being the home run first mentality, putting myself and the ball in harm's way too early and, too often. And I think I've kind of toned back on that. And I've had a lot of help along the way and been able to work on my mechanics, one, but two, also times up with that, with, the knowledge of the game and knowledge of our offense. And, I think in one area this offseason I've gotten really good at is knowing where I'm protected, knowing where my eyes need to go, at the snap, trying to decipher what a defense is doing and then just trying to find the right answer.
Do you avoid the hits enough?
Not enough, no. And I need to, going back to this last game, there's a couple where I probably could have just slid, but something about you know, putting my body on the line for my team. That
no, Josh, Josh, no,
I know.
No, no. What would your mom say if we lost you? Like, you can't do that. You slide.
I know. Slide. And I get the best ability is availability. And I understand that. It just, I've learned. I slid once last game. I slid twice the game before. So I'm definitely keeping a tally of how many times I'm sliding. But if it's third down, if it's fourth down, I got to put my body in line to go get it. I'm going to go do it.
You were a baseball player. You know how to slide. Come on.
I know. I was more of a pitcher, though.
You still know how to slide.
Too often.
Yeah, you still know how to slide. What's the worst yelling that you've got from Coach McDermott? Like the worst airing out?
I Coach McDermott, he's more kind of a defensive-minded head coach. So he just tries to give me knowledge as far as defensive terminology and scheme goes. Coach Dable was my first year. And we were running just a simple spot concept. It was a flat, a little stick route, and a corner route. And we were in the red zone, and the flat popped free right away. And in our read, it is bottom up. You read it low to high, low to high. And my buddy Austin Prohl was running the corner route, and I tried to stick in a back shoulder and didn't work out. And, I mean, in my headset immediately, I can hear Coach Dable going off. And I look over to the side, and he is beat red. And, I mean – he let me have it for a good 5 minutes, and then all of a sudden he calmed down and he starts thinking about it again. He gets even more angry, but it was just one of those times where like, I knew I was wrong, and there's nothing I can say to you that's going to make you feel better. Except go up the next time and read it bottom up.
You can't turn the volume down in your helmet.
No, unfortunately not. And you got to eat like, those are the situations where you just kind of have to trust your equipment manager and your equipment staff to be like, I hope you guys didn't turn this too loud, because sometimes it is like kind of painful when he's screaming at you. So that was a long time ago, and you know he hasn't had much to scream about in the last couple of years. So that's been good.
He's Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback. What was your welcome to the NFL moment?
I mean, I think I was playing the Chargers. That was my first start. I think just kind of the boat racing that they put on us that game, the blitz, the presser, Melvin Ingram and Bosa got after me a couple times. I think Derwin James hit me pretty good, but I did shake off one of his tackles. But I think it was that game just being like, this is fast. Because, I mean, I was thrown into the mix the week prior right after halftime against Baltimore. And like I said, it was just going into my first start. I was so excited for it, and, like, things were just – I mean, I heard bullets flying by my head. And I was just like, oh, my God, like, I got to be in tune and ready to go, And it was just kind of eye-opening. Then we go up next week and we play Minnesota at Minnesota. We're 20-point underdogs, and we come out and we kind of shocked the world there. So that was one of those cool moments.
Does your family still have the farm?
Yeah, they do. And so we're traditionally a row crop, so we do cantaloupe, cotton, and wheat. But – me and my dad, actually, we purchased about 100 acres worth of pistachio trees. We're going to start planting these probably in March. So that's something I'm really excited about.
Is it tougher being a farmer or playing quarterback in the NFL?
Farming, for sure. I mean, there's just so many elements that you can't control the weather. And that's like one thing farming needs. You need sunshine. You need a lot of rain. And Central California doesn't seem to get too much of the rain sometimes. So. And it's very hectic, and it's something, I saw my dad struggle with and be super smart about throughout my years. And he was always my biggest role model with just his work ethic and, what he would do to provide for our family. So, football, you just got to make the right decisions and make the right throws without trying to take too many hits.
Give me the quarterback you think would be the worst farmer.
Ooh. In the league or on our team?
In the league.
Let's see. I think Herbert would be a pretty good farmer because he's a marine biologist, right? And I think he would kind of get some of that stuff. So I don't know about that. Maybe Nick Foles. I don't know.
He doesn't look like he wants to get his hands dirty or what?
No, I mean, he's just – I don't know. He's just
well, wait. How do you think? How do you think Brady would do? How do you think Brady would do on the farm there, Josh?
I don't know. He's kind of old timey. I think he gets a lot of things. I just, you know what? I take back Nick. You know, he's got a great relationship with God, and you know, the rain would come for. I mean, he'd be raining all sorts of places for him. So
it would rain 40 days and 40 nights, Josh.
Exactly. So I take that back. He'd probably be the best one. I don't know.
No, Brady would be farming. He'd have kale.
He'd probably have avocados and you know, doing the smart and nutritional plants. And
he'd be yelling at the cantaloupe, chewing it out.
Yeah. I'm going with Sam. You know, Sam, he's a SoCal kid. He's a beachy guy. I've seen I don't know if he'd survive on the farm.
Sam Darnold wouldn't, yeah. How often do you talk to Sam?
We talk pretty often, probably at least once or twice a week, whether it's personal texts, if it's Instagram, direct messages with our group chats, if it's Call of Duty. You know, sometimes we get online and play video games with each other. So it's pretty often.
I love what you're doing with this cereal. Tell my audience what you're doing and who it's benefiting.
Yeah, so Josh's Jacks, you know, thanks to PLBSE, you know, it's in a sports entertainment group that kind of allowed me to go out and get a cereal. But it's available at Tops and Wegmans, and majority of the, you know, a portion of the proceeds go to Oshai Children's Hospital. And I've been working with Oshai since I first got here 3 years ago. And you know, I'm able to kind of go in and talk with these kids, and you know, unfortunately, throughout coronavirus, it's all been virtual. But you know, it's something special to my heart that this cereal benefits such a good cause, and it can really help you know, fund this hospital with, you know, necessities that they need, you know, especially in trying times like this. So it's been awesome, and I'm really looking forward to continuing my relationship with Oshai Children's Hospital.
Yeah, the cereal is Josh. Jack's, J-A-Q, apostrophe S, proceeds benefiting the Children's Hospital in Buffalo. I was just thinking about this with the pistachios. When you go to market, you just call them Josh's Nuts.
Trust me, we've thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Who doesn't want Josh's Nuts? You're speechless.
I don't know. I'd eat them.
You're going to be a mogul. You're going to be a tycoon. Hey, it's great to talk to you. Congrats on your success. Thanks for being a good sport, and good luck.
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a text at 10:10 a.m. this morning. That would be the a.m. part of this morning. And it was an update on Wisconsin football. Their quarterback, Graham Mertz, according to my source, in all likelihood had COVID prior to the game against Illinois, but tested negative, was at all team activities leading up to the game, so it spread throughout the team. A significant number of positives this week. Game with Nebraska growing doubtful. And the Big Ten didn't build buys into their schedule. Multiple reports have the Wisconsin game against Nebraska that is being canceled. Wisconsin football team will pause all team-related activities for at least 7 days due to an elevated number of COVID-19 cases within the Badgers program. Game against Nebraska on Saturday will not be played. And I don't believe they can make up these games. Plus, you're quarantined for 3 weeks, 21 days. Yes, Tom.
What's going through Larry Scott, Pac-12 commissioner's mind, and the Pac-12? They're supposed to get started next week, and you start seeing stuff like this. That's a little scary. They're finally agreeing to play.
Yeah, Paul.
What's going through their mind is probably they should have stuck with the SEC's plan, and that's what the Big Ten should have done weeks, and they would have had wiggle room and built in bye weeks and things like this. If this happens to the SEC, they have room to move things. The Big Ten going in, going out, going in is why they're there now.
So I don't know how many of these players are going to miss the next three games. You're going to miss the Nebraska game. They have Michigan coming up. Who else do they have, McLovin?
I think Indiana coming up. That might be outside of 3 weeks. By the way, sorry if you already said this. The coach has it too. Paul Christ.
Yeah.
12 players now. So, yeah. I don't know when they play Ohio State. Hold on. Let me
look at their schedule.
So next week, Nebraska canceled, hosting Purdue, going to Michigan, going to Northwestern, hosting Minnesota, hosting Indiana.
Well, that's okay. I only care about the next three weeks here.
So, I don't see Ohio State on here. Because it's Big 12, everyone can't play everyone. So it looks like the real win is 11-14 at Michigan.
Yeah, Paul.
And a lot of people had Wisconsin, second favorite to get out of the Big Ten if they could somehow beat Ohio State in the Big Ten title game.
There are some people who are reporting the SEC went away from antigen testing because of false positives, but the test also produced false negatives. Looks like it could have happened here. Also, false negatives were reported, the reported route of a Baylor outbreak as well. But there's no room for error here in the Big Ten. You had a finite amount of weeks to get these games in, and then hopefully you're going to be able to qualify for a bowl game or the Final Four. That's what you're hoping for Ohio State here. But now these other schools are going to be impacted. You're playing less games than the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC just to start out with. But, yeah, this is a big deal in Wisconsin. Yeah, Paul.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, that's even more, you know, that false negative. Like, you can think that you're clean and spread it to people. That's like just, not just football, but everywhere. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, but the fact that your star quarterback likely had COVID prior to last week's game, but tested negative, and then he's at all the team activities, and then your other quarterbacks, they test positive as well. Your head coach tests positive as well. This is the kind of situation due to the you know, the protocol here in quarantining. This is 21 days, and you have no bye weeks, and these games are not going to be able to be played. Like, I don't know how many more positives you're going to have. Like, how many would it take before Wisconsin just says, we can't field a football team? I don't know the outbreak. And your head coach. And are these – I don't think these are forfeits. I think they're called no contest. Nobody wins, nobody loses, I think, is maybe the language there with the Big Ten. Yes, McLovin.
But isn't it a rush to get enough games where they can get into the Final Four? Like, what's that number supposed to be? Like, what do you have to get?
Well, I think you're trying to get 8 games. The only way that this would happen for Ohio State, now, if Ohio State plays all 8 games, which might be unlikely now, then that you pass the sight test. That's what my source told me when this first started. Could they play 8 games? And how good do they look in those 8 games? Well, they look good in week 1 against Nebraska. But, you know, style points is what you need. Now, if all of a sudden you're playing 5 games, 6 games, I think you're going to be hard-pressed to try to get a team from the Big Ten into the Final Four. Because I think the SEC and the ACC are probably going to go, wait a minute, we're playing 10 games. You guys are playing 6. Yeah, McLovin.
And I'm looking at Ohio State's schedule. They have some easy games, too. Penn State is a tough one, but then Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana might be tough, Illinois, Michigan State, who looks like they're down, and then the last game being Michigan in Columbus.
Yeah. There's some – a player has tested positive for COVID with the Texans. Their facility has been closed. They didn't mention who the player is, I don't think, but the Texans announced earlier this morning they're closing their team facility. A player tested positive on Tuesday night. Do the Texans play this weekend?
No, they're on a bye week.
Okay, so that at least helps them a little bit. Every time you think, okay, maybe they've got it figured out, they don't. Like, baseball had 58 consecutive days, and then you have a player test positive in Game 6 of the World Series. The Big Ten, great weekend. Now you have this. Like, this could impact Wisconsin's season. I mean, it is impacting it from the standpoint of, are they going to have a season? And how many players are going to test positive? And your head coach has tested positive. Your star quarterback has tested positive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.